Begin the current daf, Masechtas Brachos daf lamed zayin. Begin with Taisa Divrei Maaseh. Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Bari Nefashos Rabbos Vechasroinam, that God creates the soul, many souls and their lackings. Which Taisa comes to explain exactly the translation of this bracha. The Gemara brings that the bracha achreina, after one eats rice, is Bari Nefashos Rabbos. And Taisa comes to explain this common bracha achreina that we make, that actually includes two praises in this bracha. First of all, there's, as Taisus quotes from the part of the bracha, Bari Nefashos Rabbos Vechasroinam, that God creates many souls and their lackings. That's Kamoi Lechem Amayim, that's referring to like bread and water, Sheyef Shebalehem, that it's not possible to survive without them. They're staples of life. That's one part of the bracha. Then when the bracha says, V'al kol ma shebara, l'hach yis behem nefesh kochoi, whatever he created to give life, vitality to every single living creature. Claim what that means to say, al koma sheba'olam, whatever is in the world, shegamim le'baram, that even had he not created it, yichaylin ha'olam lichis b'loihim, the world could have survived without them. Shle'baram kim le'tainik ba'am, because actually it was only created for pleasure. That is, k'may tapuchim or k'yetzben, like apples and things like that. That's what the second half of the bracha is saying. That's just to give vitality, but it's not something that's vechesroinim, that someone is lacking like bread and water. So those are the two different things that we're referring to in this bracha. We conclude, blessed is the life of the worlds, referring to God, will be Rishami, and the Rishami is brought actually with a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, the life of the worlds. Now, continuing the next taste of the B'maschal, taste begins with the words of the Gemara, Maprusa Kayomis. If the pieces are still intact, which taste comes to qualify, what exactly does it mean, Haprusis Kayomis? And that is, the Braisa brought that when someone grinds the wheat and he bakes bread out of it and then he cooks it, so through the cooking things break down. If the pieces are intact, so then it retains its original bracha of Hamaitzi when it was baked, and then afterwards it's going to be Birchas Hamazon. So Taisus brings the Yesh Mefarshim, that those who explain the Hainu, what does it mean the pieces are intact? Keshalechem einu shor b'mayim kolkach, that the bread was not soaking the water so much, shemikach ha-prusa, that if you're going to take the piece, shaloi yishavar, that it's not going to break. But if, let's say, the bread was soaking so much that if you would take it out with your hand, then a piece would break off, then it's like as if it's not intact, and therefore that would already qualify it not to be with this halacha of hamaitzi and berchas hamazon. Now, continuing with Taisus, the Rimaschel Rashi, which is going on the Gemara, that Rabban Shmuel said that we do not make on rice, well, the words are oiris and doichin, we don't make a bayim in the zainis. Now, Taisa brings the Rashi Pirish oiris, he says, what's this oiris? It's mil, which is millet. V'yesh mefarshim, Taisa brings, however, some explain that actually oiris is raizu, is rice. Says Taisa, lahai pirish, according to that interpretation, yesh lefarish, you have to explain the what's the doichin, that hainu mil, according to those who say that the oiris is rice, that mil, that deichin, which is the other thing, oiriz v'deichin, that actually refers to millet. So Rashi says oiriz is millet, and the others say that no, deichin is millet, and that the oiriz is rice. Now, we're doing the next taisis, which actually this is a continuation of the previous taisis, and that's why taisis brought that right before this one, that tiyufta de Rabbi Shmuel, that it's a refutation of Rabbi Shmuel, that is the Gemara brought, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, as we just mentioned before, you don't make on oiriz v'deichin, which rice, millet, you don't make a bayim in mezainis. Now, the Gemara asks from a brisa that says that if someone chews oiriz, if he chews rice, then he makes a bayir pri adam. Now, but let's say if he grinded it down and he baked it and then he cooked it. So then, even if the pieces are intact, so it's not going to be like bread that's intact. However, it's still not a hadama, like when you're just chewing the rice as it is. Then you can make a bayir min mezainis, and then you're going to make a bracha me'in shalish, what's called ala mechia. Now, one thing we see is that the bracha on rice is a bayim in the mezainis, not a grab and shmul. So the Gemara concludes, as our Taisus quotes, yet tiyufta rabbi shmul tiyufta, it's a refutation of their interpretation. So that Taisus says, but however, the refutation was only ba'iris, was only on iris, and therefore it's relative to the previous Taisus, what was actually iris, is that millet or is that rice? Because from this brace that we're refuting rabbi shmul, that says it's bayim in the mezainis, was only going on iris. Avla deichin, but regarding millet, lo have a tiyufta. That's not a refutation, because the Braisa wasn't talking about millet. So it's Taisa, the have a hilchas so kavasayin. Actually, maybe the halach is going to be like Rabban Shmuel regarding deichin, v'loimer v'chin, ala bayimim v'zayin. So maybe actually we don't make bayimim v'zayin on whatever deichin is. Again, that's contended in the previous tases between Rashi and the Yesh Mefarshim, but that's what one tases is saying, that could be that the refutation was only on oiris, because that's what the Braisa was talking about, but not on deichin. because oiris could be more significant. You make a mezainis, but teichin could be less significant, and that you wouldn't make a boyim in mezainis. Now, continue with the next taste of b'maslam. Taste begins with the words of the Gemara. Kais is chita. Someone chews wheat, it's grain. Tzarech levarchel abayir piadama. So you have to make a bayir piadama. Taste is coming to qualify. What's the bracha achreina on someone that chews wheat kernels? That is the Gemara brought a brisa that says if someone chews kais is chita, means that he eats the granules of the grain itself as it's intact. So he said he makes a bayir piadama before it. So that says taste is. And the reason for that is shari afila bekimcha dechita, because even wheat flour, amin la'el mevorchen la'el bar priadama, that you make a bar priadama on the flour, because the Tosef points out even though the Rav Nachman leisvir lehachi, even the Rav Nachman who he disagrees over there, and he says that you don't make a bar priadama, that's only mishum deishtanu, it's only because it changed from its appearance. But when it doesn't change from its appearance, like over here, even Rav Nachman would agree that on the actual grain kernels themselves, you would make a bar priadama. That's what it is. It's something that it's a fruit of the ground. Now, but all this is regarding the bracha before you eat the grain kernels. Omiu, however, says Taisus b'la'achra, for after you eat it, for the bracha achreina, yesh l'sapik ma'am mevarchin, we are in doubt regarding what the bracha achreina is supposed to be. And that is, im mevarchin ala mechya v'akakala, do you make an ala mechya like you make for the five types of grain, umisayim, and what are you going to conclude? Al hadama v'apri hadama, on the earth and on the fruit of the earth, because ultimately, the bracha rishayna was, like we just said, a bayi priadama. Whereas some girsayas add on the words oiloi or not. And the reason why you would not make a what's called a bracha main shalish, we call ala mechya, or in this case, ala dama, is the layashkechan birchas ala mechya vakakala. We don't find anywhere this bracha of ala mechya, elehecha de baruch alai beresha kaid machila, only if you made a bracha rishayna before you ate it, a bayi min mezainis. So when you make a bayim in mezainis, then afterwards you make a ala mechya. But we don't find that, even though it's from the five types of grain, if you made a bayim pradama, because it's just the green kernels itself, that you would make a al hadama, you would make a ala mechya. We don't find it. Now, but Rabbeinu Tam Hegiya b'magzer shalai, Rabbeinu Tam edited in his magzer, al hadama va pradama, meaning in his siddur, where it spoke about the dinischayas, he wrote that, yeah, one should make a ala mechya, and conclude the words, al hadama va pradama. Etc. Now, however, Taisa brings him a chazar bay, but he retracted. And the reason for that is because, as we were pointing out before, we don't find anywhere this bracha of al hadama va priadama. As Taisa explains, because later on the Gemara brings up memdal medalev mefarish bracha achas mein gimel. It qualifies. What is this? What it literally means to say the bracha achas mein gimel is one bracha that's a microcosm of the three brachas. Meaning, in a sense, ala mechya is a composite of the three brachas of Birchas HaMazon. Now, the comment it says, okay, the bracha achas mein gimel, there's many different types. B'chameshes aminim, on the five types of grain that you make ala oretz val mechya. You conclude and you start off regarding the land and on the sustenance. Val zayin aminim, regarding the shivas aminim, we also make achas mein shalash. That's ala oretz val peiros. You make on the land and on the produce, on the fruits. Now, but says Taisus val adama val pri adama lehiska, it doesn't mention anything about the nusach, the text of on the earth and on the fruit of the earth. We don't find that. And therefore, that's one reason why Rabbeinu Tam retracted that we're not going to make this bracha achreina on the grain kernels that are eaten, that to make a al hadam at the end. But moreover, another proof is in the Kamahachab, and the fact that our Gemara says will be here, that we're quoting here in this Taisis, Dibre Maskel, ala Kaisis as a chita, regarding someone that chews the wheat kernels itself. Mavar bar priadama, you make a bar priadama, but Kamahachab, and explicitly it says, the brisa continues going and says, and let's say if you grinded it down, you baked bread out of it, and it continues until where it gets up to the point where it says, if the pieces are not intact, so although at one point there was bread, but then if it's not intact, then you're going to make in the beginning a bar min mezainis, will be safe bracha achas min shalosh, in the end you're going to make an ala mechya, not brachas amaz. Says Taisis, from the fact that in this brisa itself, it doesn't say here in the reisha, Gabi kaisis achita, when you're chewing just wheat itself, not like the sefer that you went and you baked it and you made it into bread and then you cooked it. It doesn't say mevarch la'achar of bracha achas mein shalosh. The sefer says, oh, what's the bracha achreina that it's going to be mein shalosh. In the reish, when it talks about eating the wheat kernels, it doesn't say that after it's going to make a bracha achas mein shalosh. Shema mino, from that inference that it doesn't, that it admits that, it tells us that because it's yes, because when you're just chewing the wheat kernels, like a bracha la'achar of mein gimel, it's not going to have this halacha of a bracha achreina of what we call ala mechya or ala dama from the fact that it was omitted. Now says Taisus, according to this, the other comment, this is the Gemara tells us later on, Kalshu min dagan, v'loy asa pas v'chulu, that whatever is a type of a grain, but it wasn't made into bread, etc. That v'chacham, the sages say, that then it's not going to be benching, you're not going to make birchas amazin because you didn't make it into bread. Rather, bracha achas min gimel, it's going to be anala michya. Wait a second, that seems to include even the case of HaKaisa Schita, because it's one of the five types of grain that wasn't made into bread. Says Taisus, no, according to what we're saying now, Maiwi, that's talking about Davdinu Kein Taisus. You made it into some type of like a porridge, into some type of a oatmeal, of something, the Hashiva Azachilase, and then its eating is considered significant. If someone's just chewing a raw wheat kernel, that's not considered a significant, distinguished type of eating. Even though that's part of the five types of grain, you're not going to make an al hamichya or al adama, like we're saying. Rather, you're going to make a bar in the fashas. Now, umiyu, however, although this is what Rabbi Natan retracted to, the Reed says, no, there's still doubt to be in. No, maybe the sages did include it. Bahu in this Talmudic dictum of min dagan that it's the type of a grain that wasn't made into bread. They say bracha achas main shalish. You make a bracha achas main shalish, which would be this ala mikra or ala dam, whatever it is, because ultimately that's the Talmudic category. If it's flat, one of the type five types of grain, you didn't make it into bread. That's what essentially what chewing a wheat kernel is. So therefore, Benachal Hakma says taste is appropriate to be stringent. One should not eat roasted grain, achitim shlukais, or soaked wheat that's stewed. Ela b'techasuda. Rather to have it in the middle of a meal. Sha'az birchas amazon petrasim, because then benching is going to exempt it as part of the meal itself. Because we're not sure really what the bracha chorin is supposed to be on granola, on things like this, because we're not really clear what the bracha chorin would be. And that says Taisus, "Amloin esmachu yafa." Unless it was really cooked out well, that would become a daisa. Then it's like this porridge, where then for sure you're going to make bracha achas main chalish, because that's for sure going to be ala michya. That's included in one of the five types of grain that's mentioned in the brisa. But if it's not like that, then we're not sure what to do. And therefore, rather, if one's going to eat a shear, eat it in the middle of a meal, and then brichas mazon is going to exempt it. And as Taisus adds and concludes, because the Yerushalmi Yesh and the Yerushalmi Talmud, it's actually brought shekam hamiram hoyimusapakim, that even that hamiram, they were already in doubt regarding this, because the Kamar, the Yerushalmi, says, Hadin da achal silas. Someone who ever eats silas. Now, although that's usually translated as flour, Pirish Taisus explains what that means. It says, Kalayas is roasted grain. Says the Yerushalmi, Maimavark b'seifa. What's the bracha you make at the end? Is it burn the fashis? Is it this aladama of priadama? And Rabbi Yirmiyama says, Le'achle silas minyayim v'chuli. Says, because of this doubt, I didn't eat this silas, which Taisus is translating as roasted grain, in my life, because I didn't want to get involved in this doubt regarding the bracha achrayin. So we see that even the Meram were in doubt what bracha achrayin to make, if it's main shalish or not, and therefore one should not eat it out of a meal, rather in a meal, so that the birchas amazon could exempt it. So ultimately we see in Taisus that he was in doubt regarding the bracha achrayin on someone who eats a full kernel of wheat. Rabbi Natan had brought in his machzer to make aladama val priadama, because it's one of the five types of grains, and therefore the bracha has to be like on five types of grain, that you make ala mecha or you make aladama. But ultimately Rabbi Natan retracted. He says, we don't find anywhere a bracha achs min shalish if you don't make a bar min mazainis in the beginning. And even where the Braisa says the bracha of achas main shalish, that's by the five types of grain that you make ala arts val mechya, and by the shivas aminim made ala arts val peris, doesn't mention the Braisa that you can make ala dama val priadama. Additionally, a proof is that in the Braisa over here, where it says that someone who chews the wheat kernels, he makes a bar priadama. And then it says if he grinds and he makes it into bread, if the peas are not intact, then he makes a bar min mazainis. At the end, he makes a bracha achas main shalish. And the fact that in the ratio, when you didn't grind down the wheat kernels, rather you ate it as is, it doesn't say there also that you make a bracha achas min shalish. Sounds like that you're not going to make a bracha achas min shalish, so you just make a brenafashis. But in the conclusion, Taisus brings from the Re that says, but still, one could still be in doubt that maybe intact wheat kernels, to eat it as it is included what the brisa says, whatever is the type of a grain, and you don't make it into bread, you do make a bracha achas min shalish. And therefore, one should only eat it in the meal. And Taisus brings that even Yerushalmi has brought this doubt by Rabbi Yirmi himself. Now, we're doing the next taste of the Rav Maschil. This begins with the words of the Gemara. Nothing Rav Gamliel Rishus Rav Kiva Levarach. Rav Gamliel gave permission to Rav Kiva to make the bracha, which Taisus can explain many dinim in the opinion of Rav Gamliel. That is, the Braisa brought Machlik Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim regarding the seven species that its soul is praised with, what we call the Shibas Amin. According to Rav Gamliel, actually, the bracha achreina is Birchas Amazon. According to Chachamim, no, it's a bracha achas min shalish. Now, the Braisa brings that Rav Gamliel had a story with the elders that they were sitting, and they brought in front of them dates, which were one of the Shabbos Aminah. They ate it, and then Rambam gave permission to Rabbi Akiva to make the bracha. Rabbi Akiva jumped up and he made a bracha achas main shalosh on Allah eats, and he did not make, like Rambam holds, berachas hamazon. So explains Taisa that Sava Hayah Rambam thought she yivarach gimel brachas, that Rabbi Akiva was going to do berachas hamazon, k'may shayis sefer, like Rambam held, and he didn't. He went and he made an Allah eats. Now, as Taisa's Vim Taim, we're going to say Taisa asks us to take a second look, because Rambam Liel, that gave permission to Rabbi Akiva to make a bracha, what does it mean? Everyone was sitting around, everyone was eating. What does it mean he's giving permission to Rabbi Akiva to make the bracha? It means to say that he's doing zimun. Zimun is when a bunch of people, the Talmudic halacha of zimun is a bunch of people sitting around, they're about to bench. One person benches for everyone, everyone listens. So essentially when he was giving Rabbi Akiva permission to bench, he was the one that was going to lead and everyone else was going to listen. Now the problem is, the halacha is that we don't do zimun on fruits to have one person make the bracha and everyone else listen to that person. So how could Rabbi Gamliel have given the offer on zimun for peiros to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Shlomo says what you could say is that it actually depends, this halacha of emazam nala peiros. So Rabbi Gamliel, how you saw, Rabbi Gamliel thought, as was his opinion, he thought that, as we pointed out in the beginning of Taisus, that what was Rabbi Akiva going to do? Like Rabbi Gamliel's own opinion, that he's going to make the bracha on the Shabbos Aminim, Gimel Bracha Shleimus, a full Birchas Hamazon. And yes, because of that, he held that you could be Mezam Nala Peres, because that's the same thing as when you do regular Zimun. By Birchas Hamazon, that's when you do Zimun. Now, by Peres, we hold that you don't do Birchas Hamazon, so you're not Mezam. But Gamliel, who he holds that you do Birchas Hamazon, and that's what he thought Rabbi Akiva was going to do, there it does apply Zimun, and therefore he's giving him the opportunity to go ahead and make the bracha of everyone else. But, says Taisa, b'chiber Rabbi Akiva ein gimel, but when Rabbi Akiva did not do like Gamliel, rather like the elders, and he made a ala eitz, you're right, la'atzmai dafka, he made the bracha for himself. When he jumped and he said the bracha was for himself, because the kaimelon ein mezam nala peiros, because we hold, because we don't make berachas hamazon on peiros, that yes, you don't do Zimun. And yes, v'achem hamasubin, everyone else that was sitting around, berachu kolecha la'atzma, everyone made their own bracha, not like what Gamliel had wanted Rabbi Akiva to make for everyone, because he thought he was going to do berachas hamazon, which would fulfill the obligation of everyone else. Now, but still, v'mtemetz, Taisus says, if you're going to say, and he asks us to take a second look, says, okay, l'ramliel da'amagimah bracha shleim, is according to Gamliel that says, that yes, you make full three brachas, which what we call berachas hamazon, on the Shabbos Aminim, which includes the dates that they were eating over there. So then it comes out, v'svirle d'mezam nal zayin aminim, like we're saying. So that means to say that you do zimun, which means say you do like a regular birchas hamazon on the Shabbos aminim. So then the question is, isvirle, if he holds as we rule the halacha is, the bracha tunikais, that birchas hamazon requires a cup of wine when you bench, which means say you hold a cup of wine, afterwards you make a bracha on the cup of wine. Imkain, so it comes out that when they're going to want to make a birchas hamazon on the Shabbos aminim, like Rimlil holds, so you're going to have to make it on a cup of wine. Now the thing is, then afterwards, you're going to have to make another Birchas Hamazon, like Gamliel holds, because you have to make Birchas Hamazon on produce of the Shabbos Aminim and on wine. So that means on the wine itself, when you then make a Bracha Achrayin on the wine that you made on the Birchas Hamazon of the, let's say the dates, you're going to have to make Birchas Hamazon on that. So Yizamnu, they're going to have to do Zimun. Vimkein yizamnu l'olam. So you're going to be in a cycle of constantly doing zimun, because every time you're going to have to make berachas hamazon on a cup of wine. Now on that cup of wine, you have to now make a berachas hamazon, and on that berachas hamazon, you have to do a cup of wine, and so on and so forth. So you're never going to finish. The Yishlamatis is what you could say is no. The yachalis it could be shle yishteklal min kaisal bracha, that the person's not going to drink from the kaisal bracha, the kais that the berachas hamazon was made on. So the person's not going to have to drink from the cup of wine, and then he's not going to make a bracha achrayin of berachas hamazon on that cup of wine. But still, Vintemetesa says, if you're gonna say, Mikamakam, however, lo isa mevarach, but the one who's making the bracha on the cup of wine, who's doing the benching, shehu tayim, that he does have to taste from it. So tzarach levarach pamachar, so he's gonna have to go ahead and make a bracha another time, a birchas hamazon, like during Lil holds, which yain is one of the Shabbos aminim. Vimkenin ladavasayv. So again, so there's no end to it again, at least for the one who's doing the birchas hamazon. What you could say is that no, if you don't do a permanent type of a drinking like that which one does as a meal, rak molay lugmuk, just a cheekful, which is necessary that when you're making the bracha on the cup of wine as you're doing the zimun, then Moedrim Gmul would agree over there that no, one does not have to make a berachas hamazon on that type of drinking. And the proof of this is because the Imlai Kain, if that wouldn't be the case, what Vachiles Leiler Mulil says, Taisa, what you think, Mulil does not hold of Bracha Achas Mein Shalash, the Bracha of the Achas Mein Shalash B'Shemakim in any place. I mean, say we know there is such a halacha, according to Mulil, there's never going to be such a halacha because you're always doing Brachas Amazon on the Shabbos Aminim when you're having Bracha Achas Mein Shalash. Obviously, it's a Taisa, no, he holds that halacha of Achas Mein Shalash when you're not sitting down to eat this thing in the Kriyas in an established type of a way. When you're making the bracha on the cup of wine, that's just as a something that's secondary to the berachas hamazon. That cup of wine, when you make the bracha after that cup of wine, you're not going to make a berachas hamazon. Then you're going to make just ala gefen, even according to Rav Gamliel, and therefore it's not going to be a cycle that continues. Now it says of ayin oy taisus psachim kofheim abeis der naskal shemam the bracha, which Taisus over there actually gives another approach, and he says that even according to Rav Gamliel, even according to those who hold that berachas hamazon requires a cup, they did not institute to make a bracha on the berachas hamazon on the cup of wine only after a meal of bread, not a wine, even if you're going to make a berachas hamazon on that cup of wine. Because only on the bread meal that they required to go ahead and do on a cup of wine. Also, Taisus writes over there that according to the sheet of the Bahag, the Bahalachas Gedailis, that one does not make a da'ala gefen after the benching. It's part of the meal, part of the berachas hamazon, so then that's going to work out because you're not going to make the bracha chayna, which would be berachas hamazon, to have to make a cup of wine on that berachas hamazon, and so on and so forth. So those are two other approaches to this question. Now, continuing to Talmud Beis, we continue with Taisa Dibri Maslam. Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Chavitza de Ispe Pirun. Chavitza that has pieces. So Taisa comes to explain what exactly is this chavitza, and that is the Gemara brought from Rav Yosef. This chavitza that has pieces that are at least the size of a kezias. So then, in the beginning, you're going to make hamaitzi, and at the end, you're going to make a berachas hamazon. So, Pirush Rashi explains what's this chavitza. It's kamoi shel naikuk, which, in other words, are like these pieces of bread that are soaked that are cooked in water, and that's what this chavitza is. This type of a dish. So it depends if these pieces of bread are the size of kezayis, so it's still bread, and you're going to make hamaitzi and the berachas hamazon. Now, however, vim taima Taisa is beginning to say, and Taisa has to take a second look because v'hatanya leil, we learned in a brisa previously that spoke about a case. That said, if someone grinds the wheat and he bakes from them pieces and he cooks them, so the braisa said, "Bizman shaprusus v'chulu," when the pieces are intact, okay, so you're going to make hamaitzi and at the end you're going to make a berachas hamazon, v'chulu, etc. But ena prusus kayamas, if the pieces are not intact, then lo yavarcha lein hamaitzi, then you're not going to make a nida hamaitzi, rather you're going to make a berachas mezainis. Now, over there, the braisa is talking about also the way Rashi is explaining is this case of chavitza, that the pieces were cooked in water. Now it sounds like that afagav de ispe kezayis, that even though it has pieces the size of an olive, that even so, that you're not going to make a hamaitzi if the pieces are not intact, because the braisa doesn't differentiate if the pieces are the size of an olive or not. Whereas over here, Rabbi Yisrael says that if the pieces are kezayis, even though they're not intact, you're going to make hamaitzi. But seemingly the same type of a case regarding these pieces of bread that are cooked, the Rashi explained the case, there it doesn't differentiate, and here there is a differentiation. So does it make a difference if it's a shir of a kezayis or not? So Rabbi Yosef says what you could say is that it's not difficult. Rabbi Yosef would explain, when the Braisa says in that previous case, haprusis kayamas, that the pieces are intact, what does that mean? Hainu bekezayis. That means to say, if it has the size of an olive, that means it's intact. Ve'en haprusis kayamas, when it says it's not intact, that means b'shein ben kezayis, means it crumbled, it's smaller than the size of a kezayis. So therefore, that's essentially what Rabbi Yosef is saying, and b'chein mefarish nami b'yishami sotu, that's how Yishami explains it, and therefore it's not a difficulty. Rabbi Yosef is exactly like the Braisa. Now, however, in the Gemara, Rav Yisrael brought a raya, proof, to his opinion, that it depends if it has the shir of kezayis or not. From the fact that we learn in the Braisa, it says that a kohen makes a bracha on the leftovers of the flour offering that he eats, makes a mitzvah lechem and arts. Even though we brought in the Braisa, it says that they will crumble the piece of the mincha to piece of a kezayis, still you see, as long as it was the size of a kezayis, then you're going to make a hamaitzi. On that, Taisus asks from Taimit, if you're going to say, ve'eich medam Rav Yisrael. Now, how did Rav Yisrael compare Peruri menaches, the pieces of the flour offering in the mincha in the Beis Hamikdash, leferuri chavitza, to the pieces of bread of this chavitza dish? Because as we explained from Rashi, this chavitza is talking about that it was soaked and was cooked in water. The mincha is not soaked in water. So yes, the mincha, as long as it has the size of a gezayis, is going to be amaitzi because it's regular bread. Here, it's cooked in water. Here, maybe even if it's a gezayis, maybe it wouldn't be amoytzi. What's Rabbi Yisi proving from over there? Says Tosef Yeshua, what you could say is, yes, it's a raya, because kivan shenetagnen b'shemet, since the flour offerings in the Beis HaMikdash were fried in oil, so can this pashal dami, that's the same thing as being cooked. Just like when you cook, it loses some of the element, the form. So too, the oil, when it's fried, it also makes it lose some of it. And even so, you see over there, it's amaytzi. So Rav Yis is proving over here to this case that the chavitza is going to be amaytzi. But Amiyu Kasha, Rebbe Tosef says it's difficult. Because the lakat mikulin kezayis, this that the case over there that's brought, that it says that if you gather from it the size of an olive, the koi achamesha saminim, which is, that goes on, which this is later on the Gemara, that this is going on the five types of grain, which this is a part of the Gemara that Abaye asked on Rav Yosef. The Braisa brings that if someone gathers from the crumbs that don't have the size of a kezayis, if he gathers together amount of a kezayis, so if he gathered all those crumbs together, and it's the size of kezayis, so then he fulfills the obligation of matzah, and he can make a hamaitzi, which Abaye says, that's not like Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef says, even if you're going to gather the size of a kezayis, but if the pieces are less than a kezayis, you can't make a hamaitzi, and not fulfill your obligation, and here you see that it could be. That was Abaye's question on Rav Yosef. Now, the difficulty is, Tais is explaining that that halacha is going on the five types of grain, v'loi amanachis, and the Bryce is not going on the manachis, k'may shafarish, like I'm going to explain later on, in Divrei Maaseh Leket, which he disagrees with Rashi, that it's going on the Menachos. Tosis says that, as he's going to prove, that no, it's not going on the Menachos, it's going on the five types of grain. And that's what Abaye is asking from this case of Lokat Mikul and Kezayis. You see that even if it's less than the size of a Kezayis, it's still considered as bread, it's still like your Yotzi Chiva Matzah, and therefore you make Hamaitzi, and not like Rabbi Yisrael says, has to have the share of a Kezayis. But one thing as Tosis, but that halacha is not talking about that they were cooked. And therefore, yes, of course you're going to make hamaitzi, even though it does not have a share of a kezayis. So that's the question Taisa asking, what's a bayah comparing? That he's asking from that case of lakat, nakul, and kezayis, from these five types of grain, which is just taking from the different types and putting it together that, okay, it's going to be considered still as bread. So what are you asking on Rav Yosef regarding chavitza? Shum mevushel, where it's cooked. Yeah, therefore, if it, you don't have in the crumbs the size of kezayis, Rav Yosef holds, you're going to make a bar mitzvah zayin. And that's not difficult from lakat, mekul, and kezayis, because it's not told that it was cooked. So what's a bias question? So therefore, lakach nirali says, Tosef, therefore, it appears to me not like the way Rashi explains. Rashi said, as we started off, that yotz chavitza is cooked in water. Tosef says, no, chavitza hainu perurin hanedvokin yachad. These are crumbs that are attached together, ayde marak, through some type of a soup, ayde chalav, or through milk, like we find this chavitza de tamri, that means that they stick together. That's the terminology of chavitza. That is, even if it's not soaked in water, Rabbi Yosef still held that if it's crumbs small in the kezayis, you can make a bar mitzvah zayinus. And that's, therefore, now we could understand all the questions Tosef had asked. You don't have to say, as Tosef had to say for Rashi, that Rav Yisrael is going to explain the Braisa, as we said for Rashi, that, oh, when the Braisa said in the previous case of Eina Prusis Kayamas, where we said, oh, that means to say, when, what does it mean the piece are not intact? That means that it doesn't have a kezayis. No, it could even be if it is a kezayis, as the Braisa didn't differentiate. The Braisa told him about when it was cooked. Cooked is one thing. Rav Yisrael, as we explain now in Tosef, had not told him that it was cooked. And therefore, he could have a different halacha than that Braisa. Additionally, we could also understand what was Abaye asking from the Braisa that says when you likut mikul and kezayis, that you're going to make a hamaitzi. Yes, because since the current Rav Yosef, even if it's not cooked, still he holds, just if it's only by connecting them together, but if it's less than a kezayis, you're not going to make a hamaitzi if it's less than a kezayis. That you see from the Braisa that you would make a hamaitzi, yes, without mevushel, because not tumah that it was cooked. Therefore, that's the interpretation of chavitza according to Tosis, and therefore that was the question Abaye asked on Rav Yosef. Now, continuing the next Tais, the Rimaschal, Tais begins with the words of the Gemara, Hayo'imid Makrav Menachis. He was standing and bringing a mincha, a flower offering, which Tais explains who we talking about that Hayo'imid, that he was standing. Now, as the Gemara brought, the Rav Yosef said, says, how do I know this halacha that I'm saying? That when there are crumbs at least the size of a kezayis, then you can make a hamaitzi from a braisa. The braisa says that the kayin, he makes the bracha on the leftover pieces of the flower offerings that he eats hamaitzi lechem in the arts. Now, even though it says over there that by the mincha that they would crumb it to pieces of a kezayis. So you see, even though it was crumbed, but as long as it had the shape of kezayis, you see, you make a maitzi. That says Rabbi Yosef is like what I say. Now, Pirush Rashi, Rashi explains that balabayis hamasnadiv mincha, that it's going on the homeowner, that he's donating a mincha. And that's the one that was hoya oimedu makriv mincha. And the reason why Rashi explains that is because the Braisa brings that he makes a, one of the brachas he makes is shechiyanu on sacrificing a mincha. That's because for a regular Yisrael, it's not a regular normal thing that he brings a mincha. And when you do something that's not a regular thing, you make a shechiyanu. Had it been talking about the kohen who is makriv the mincha, so a kohen is always doing that avodah mitzvah. They should always bring a mincha. Why would he go ahead and make a shechiyanu? But it says teisa b'deicha gadlhu. But it's a very contrived interpretation. Because the Haya Oimed HaMakar, this that it says that if you're standing and sacrificing, Mashma, that sounds like B'Kayin HaMakar, but it's going to Kayin, who he's the one that actually sacrifices, not a Yisrael who then gives it over to the Kayin. V'chei Morva says, Taisa Lishna, the wording of Natan La'achal, that it continues, says, and then he takes it to eat it, Mashma, that sounds like a Da'Kayin Kayin, it's going on the Kayin. Therefore, it's not logical to say that the first part of the sentence of Haya Oimed was talking about a Yisrael. So because of these questions, Taisa disagrees with Rashi, and he says that B'Niri would seem, B'Kayin HaOimed LaHakriv Rishon B'Mishmarte. What are you talking about? You're talking about a kohen, to answer the question why Rashi said it was Yisrael, because of Shechiyanu. You're talking about a kohen that's the first one that he's going to sacrifice in his mishmer, in his group of that week. Because b'choftal mishmeres are you. The Kam is split into 24 groups. B'chol Shabbos mischadesh mishmeres acheres. Every single week, a new group of Kanim would start to avoid it. So therefore it comes out, kol mishmara einu mishmeres ila beis pam b'shana. It means every group of Kanim, they only do the avoid in the base of Migdash 2 weeks in the year. Now, since they have a set time and it only comes twice a year, therefore that, yeah, the Kayan would make a Shechiyanu. And therefore, this halach of Hoya Emin HaMakriv, Taisa says, interprets talking about the Kayan, who's the first time he's coming to do it for his week, in this two times in the year, he's going to make a Shechiyanu. Now, v'loike pirush Rashi de Menachas, and therefore we don't have to say pirush Rashi in Masechtas Menachas. The Mari b'koyin shleikim oil. He says, when would a koyin make a shechiyanu? He says it's a koyin that never did the avodah ever. That's when the koyin's going to make a shechiyanu. No, it says Taisa. No, even a koyin that does the regular avodah, he's been doing the avodah many years. But since, however, that he only gets to do it two times a year and it's not a constant thing, even that koyin would go ahead and make a shechiyanu. That's what the case of Hayoyin Makrib is referring to. Now we think with the next Taisa, the Maschal Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, Lakat Mekulam. As we referenced this Taisa earlier, and so Taisa says that based on his interpretation, he was asking on the Rashi's interpretation of Chavitza. So Taisa can explain what's the Braisa talking about. That is because the Gemara brought that Abai asked Rav Yosef, that Rav Yosef said that if you have the piece of bread less than a kezayis, you're not going to make Hamaitzi. On that, Abai asked from a Braisa that says that if they gather together pieces to total a share of a kezayis and he eats it, so if it's chametz, he's liable for the punishment of karas. If it's matzah, if it fulfills the obligation of Pesach. So you see that even when its pieces are less than the kezayis, still the Braisa says, because it says that you're gathering together to make it in the kezayis, still you're going to make chametz. That's not like Rav Yosef. Now, Taisa brings that Pirush Rashi explains, the koi amenachis, that this Braisa that Abai is quoting is going on with the Gemara was previously talking about of menachis, that if someone gathered together the crumbs of a flour offering which are born in the Beis HaMikdash of a kezayis, that's what we're talking about, that if it's chametz, he's chayav karas, if it's matzah, he fulfills the matzah obligation. Says Taisa, well, in here, that doesn't seem to be correct. Because the imkain, if that's the case, hey, chikama, how does the Gemara say, how does the Braisa say, dimchametz ubechulu, that if it's chametz, you chayav karas, etc. But vamina, but the Gemara says, menachis, abnun beis, menbeis, kol menachis, boiz matzah. All flour offerings are brought matzah. How could you have that if it was chametz, that you're going to be chayav karas, if all menachis are matzah? So Benira Tais says it would appear the koy achamishas minim, and this is what he referenced in the previous Taisas, that no, it's going on the five types of grain. Meaning, what does it mean mikulon? So Rashi le mikulon is from all of the flour from all the menachas. Tais says no, kulon is from all the types of grain that there is from the five types of grain. V'achukim, this is what the Braisa was saying. Lakat mikalmini lacham kezayis b'chul. If someone gathers from all different types of breads a share of a kezayis, then if it's chametz, it's going to be chayav karas. If it's matzah, it's going to be a full obligation. And then you would make a bracha b'maitzi. That was a biased question on Rav Yosef. Now, the next taste of Rimaskal, this begins with the words of the Gemara. Amar Rav. Rav says, "V'hu de'ikah le teresa d'nahman." This is if it has the form and the shape of bread. From the Gemara, Rav brought that this, that you make a bracha b'maitzi on crumbs, even less than the kezayis, not like Rav Yosef. That's specifically, as our taste quotes, if it has teresa d'nahman. In other words, if it has the form of bread. So Taisa says, "V'chein kaimelan." This is how we rule, because the Rava Basra, Rava was from the later Amiram, and we rule like the Basra'id, like the later Amiram, and therefore this Taisa, "V'le be'inushi be'purin kezayis." So yes, this is, therefore this is the halacha, not like Rav Yosef. You don't need that the crumbs should have a size of an olive for the bracha, even they could teresa din ham, as long as it has the form, the shape, it still looks like a piece of bread. Leina mitzi, we're going to the bracha of a mitzi, that's still going to make a mitzi, even if the piece is smaller than kezayis. Vafil nes bashel, and that would be even if the bread was subsequently cooked. Lepirish Rashi, according to Rashi's interpretation that we brought in the previous tesis by chavitza, that he says that that's something that's cooked in water, and even so, on that rub is talking about that this chavitza that does not have a kezayis, if it still has the shape and the form of bread, you can make a bracha of hamitzi. However, Taisus asks, but v'hadim ashbi b'yishalmi, but this that it sounds like from the Yishalmi. The prusas kayamois, and we also brought this previously, that the pisa are intact, which the Brisa said that if the pisa are intact, you're going to make a hamaitzi. And we said if the pisa are not intact, you're not going to make a hamaitzi. That heim b'kezayis, that sounds like that's a kezayis. According to this, if it doesn't have a kezayis, so then you're not going to make a bracha of a mitzi, and that's how we explained according to Rashi's interpretation for Rabbi Yosef, that what does it mean intact if it has the shape of kezayis, and if it's not intact, it doesn't have, so it comes out that if it doesn't have a kezayis, that you're not going to make a mitzi. Well, that's not like Rava, what we just said, that Rava says that even if it's less than the kezayis, that you would make a mitzi. Taisa explains that no, it's not the intention of the Braisa to say that if it doesn't have a shirv kezayis, that then you're not going to make hamaitzi. Rather, no, this that it says prusas kayamas when it's if the pieces are intact, that means to say like Rava, that if it has the form of bread. So why did the Braisa, why do Yerushalmi say what sounds like the shir of a kezayis? I knew that's because lafisha came derech li is teresa de nahama. That's simply because the normative is for something that usually has the form of bread. It's because ice, if it has at least the size of an olive, then it looks like a piece of bread. But says Taisa, but at times, like we're seeing here from Rava, that that even if it's less than the size of an olive, ikka teresa de nahama, they would be a form of bread. And yes, like Taisus is ruling from our Gemara from Rava, that would be sufficient to make a bracha of a mitzi. It doesn't actually have to be the share of a kezayis, prusas kayamis, that it sounds like from the Yishalmi, that that's a kezayis. It doesn't mean that it has to be kezayis. That's just normal, that's like what Rava says of teresa de nahama, but really if it has teresa de nahama, even less than the kezayis, as we're ruling here from Rava, one would make a hamitzi. Now, then it's questionable if this next two words is a new divrei maschil. Taisus brings teresa de nahama, this that Rava says that to have the form of bread. So Taisa explains that what is teresa de nahama? This that Rava said that you can make a bracha on crumbs even less than the kezai is hamaitzi if it has the form of bread. So Taisa explains what is this form of bread that you need to make a bracha of hamaitzi. So as Taisa Nere would seem, the hainu that is kishanesin haperun b'mayim. So the litmus test would be if you put these crumbs in water, v'em hamayim mislab nemach masapirun, and if the water got all white because of the crumbs, then oscillate teresa de nahama, that would mean that it gets soaked out so much, it lost the form of bread, and then you're not going to make a bracha of hamaitzi anymore on that saturated pieces of bread, which got totally dissolved in the water, and the water's all white, that already lost the form of bread, and you're not going to make hamaitzi anymore. And, says Teis, actually, v'chein hayirugel Rabbeinu David b'mitz, that's actually what the custom was of Rabbeinu David from mitz. What he would do is, l'laban perun b'mayim b'layla, he would soak the bread in water, and then what happened was in the morning he came and the water was all white from the bread that was soaking there all night long, and it was just totally dissolved in the water, and you just have like white water now. And the reason why he would do this, kedei la'achlan b'shachar, because he wanted to eat it in the morning, b'loy birchas hamaitzi u'b'loy birchas hamazon. He didn't want to have to wash and make hamaitzi and do birchas hamazon shloy la'achar, that he shouldn't delay from his schedule by having to do birchas hamazon, which requires a lot of focus and intent. But he wanted to eat bread in the morning, kedei she'ischazek reishi, so that he should strengthen his head, v'yuchel la'hagad halacha, that he could give the shir in halacha. And so he wanted the bread, but he didn't want the birchas hamazon. So that's exactly what he did. He lost the terusa de nahama, that by soaking it in water and the water just turned all white, that loses the whole element of the being called as lechem, and therefore he didn't have to make a mitzi and birchas hamazon. Now, in the next taste of Maskel, taste begins with the words of the Gemara, lechem ha'asa l'kutach, bread that was made for this kutach dip, which is a Babylonian dip that they had. Pater min achala, that's exempt from the obligation of separating the portion of challah to give it to the kahanim. So Taisa explains many different dinim regarding the halacha of challah, which is hafrashas challah, and the bracha v'amaitzi. That is, the Gemara brought this brisa from Rebchia, that bread that's made for the kutach dip, that bread is exempt from challah. On that, the Gemara asks, but we learned the brisa says it's chayav v'challah. So the Gemara says this, that we said that your chayav v'challah is because it's obvious the way you're making it like a roll, like an actual piece of bread, then it's chayav v'challah. because you're obviously showing that your intent is to eat it like a piece of bread. But if you're making like boards, which obviously your intention is not to eat it as a roll, rather as part of this dip, therefore it's not made to be like bread, and therefore that's where the halacha is going to be, that if it's made for kutach, then you're going to be exempt from hafrashas challah on that bread. Now, it says Taisus that v'hainu kishasol kilamudim. Therefore, that means to say, as we're going to see in the Gemara later on, this idea, that's the idea, what type of bread that's made for kutach is patur m'chal, if it's made like boards. But again, if it was made like a roll, then one actually would be chayiv and hafrashas chal. Now, Taisus continues, a pirush Rashi. Rashi explains that what is bread that's made for the kutach dip? What does that mean? That is isa shemayavshim b'chama. It's dough that's dried up in the sun, meaning it's not baked in the oven. Rather, the way they would make it would be that they would dry it up in the sun. So therefore, that's a different type of a baking, and therefore that's not going to qualify like a piece of bread. And therefore, we say there's no halacha of hafrashas challah. And that is taste of a kosher, but that's difficult. Because the Amrina Masechtas Challah, we say in the beginning of Masechtas Challah in Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey, that says kosher tchilasei isa, whatever in the beginning was dough. Even if it's seif is subganin, the end, it's not dough anymore. Rather, it's like this spongy, which means to say that they make it like a thin wafer type. Still chayav mechal, still yigin mechayav and afrashas chal, because the beginning was like a dough. And so to the opposite, b'chol she tchilasei sufganin, anything that in the beginning was spongy, which was like a soft type of a dough, or like a thin wafer, v'seifa isa, but at the end was like a dough, I mean, then they made it like a bread, then chayav and namachal, it's also going to be chayav and afrashas chal. But v'shetchilas is sufgan, v'seif and namas sufgan, if the beginning was spongy, at the end was spongy, it was always a liquidy batter, it was never like a bread, not in the beginning, not at the end, then patam and achal, then it's going to be exempt from afrashas chal. So Taisa's question on Rashi is, if we're talking about over here, like the way Rashi makes it sound like that a regular dough, it's just that afterwards what they did was is that they, instead of baking in the oven, they just dried up in the sun, but still, that should still be obligated in Afrashas Challah. Why are we saying it's Patam Nachalah? But we say in the Mishnah Masechtas Challah, if it was Tchilasa Isa, and even the Seifus of Ganon, like over here, because it's not made like a regular piece of bread, because it's not baked in the oven, still it should be Chayav Nachalah. Rather, like the Marsha explains for Taisus, what you have to say is, what Taisa is inferring here, is that bread that's made for kutach must be talking about that it was in the beginning actually made spongy, like a liquidy batter, or like a thin dough, which is exempt from challah, and at the end was sufganim because it was not baked in the oven, rather it was dried up in the sun. That's the halacha that the we're talking about here in the Gemara of lech mos lekutach that's patur from challah. Now, pasuk ben the tam, based on this, imkain, if that's the case, that it's enough if it was dough-like, whether in the beginning or the end, to be obligated in challah, like we see in the Mishnah Masechtas Challah. So it comes out that benivlish, which are like the thin type of pastries, or verushalash, which is also like some type of a knish that's made from this type of a dough, the tchilas and isa, that, yeah, even though at the end it's like the spongy type, but in the beginning it was a regular dough. So mevarchan alein hamayitzi, you're going to have to make an hamayitzi, v'chayev machal, and v'chayev nafrashas challah, afa be the seif in the sufganan. Even though at the end it's like this pastry, this spongy type of thing, it doesn't make a difference since the beginning was dough-like, as they were disagreeing with Rashi, that it's going to be chayiv in afrashas chal. Now, however, Taisa does point out that mitchilah hayi tzayin olim Rabbeinu Tam. In the beginning, Rabbeinu Tam actually wanted to say that no, that actually the davka chayiv in bechala. Regarding these cases that we just described, that only if it was, let's say, dough-like in the beginning, at the end it was spongy-like, that it's only regarding the obligation of challah that then you would say it's going to be chayav and challah. Why? Because the mitzvah is challah, the mitzvah of afrashas challah is bo'ed nisa, is when it's still a dough. Because the chsiv, that's the terminology the pasuk says regarding the afrash of challah. It says arisei seichem, your dough. Now, b'hoyel shahoy mitchila isa, so you're right. So therefore, since there was in the beginning a dough, so chayav machallah, so you're going to be chayav and challah, even though at the end it's sponge-like. Av mina maitzi, but Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say, but from the bracha b'maitzi, peturin, you would be exempt because the achshav him sufganin. Now this nivlish and this zerushalish, they're sponge-like, and therefore it wouldn't apply to make the bracha of b'maitzi. But says Taisus b'lo nehira, but that doesn't seem to be correct, and the reason for that is because the le'el katani previously, we learned in the brisa that said notlon la'achlan, if he took them to eat them, mevarchan alein ha'maitzi. Gabi Mincha, we learned this by the Mincha offering. We said that, so when the Kohen takes to eat the leftovers, these pieces of the Mincha offering, so he said, Mavarchalein HaMaitzi, he makes HaMaitzi on them. Now, even though right now the mincha are sufganin, they're sponge-like, shamanaches mitoganes b'shemen, because the flour offerings, they were fried in oil. So we see that even regarding the bracha of ametzi, it does help, as long as it was originally a dough, like the mincha was, that it doesn't lose the bracha of ametzi, even though now it's baked like sufganin, it's sponge-like, it doesn't make a difference, you're still going to have to make a hametzi. And therefore that's what Rabbein Tam ruled, that this niblish and the rushalish, that not only yechayv mechal, you also have to make hametzi. Now, however, Tesis continues, but v'mashayish, which these are string-like pieces of dough, like spaghetti type, that the custom was to fry it in oil, avagav techayav mechala, although, yes, there in those v'mashayish, which are the stringy-like pieces of dough that you're chayav in chala, shayi isa mitchila, like we said, because it was originally dough-like, which then already the chayav of chala starts, aritzes eichem, but says Tesis, but turn me hametzi. Here in these cases, one would be exempt from making a hametzi on them. And the emavarchan alei mila bremin mezainis, one would only make a bremin mezainis. And the reason for that is because the less luterisa than a hamet doesn't have the form of bread anymore. Even if, let's say, for hametzi it's enough in the beginning, the point is, but if you lose the form of bread, even on bread itself, you don't make a hametzi. Here it does not have the form of bread in these spaghetti like things, and therefore it's not going to be a hametzi. Now, va'achikach, after you eat these things, you're not going to make brichas amazon either. You're going to make a brichas mein shalosh, you're going to make ala michre v'al Al-Mechabal-Kakal. Now, however, Rabbeinu Chiel Zal-Hoya, as we continue to Mid-Beis, Mesopik, he actually was in doubt, Im Vir-Meshayish, if this Vir-Meshayish that we just spoke about, Chayovin Bechala. He actually was in doubt, is it even obligated in Afrashas Chala? Why? Mishum, because the reason is, Eisa Isa Say Betze Kedel Chalka, there's halacha, that if someone makes his dough with the intention of dividing them, not to make it into one piece, into one Chala, but to separate them, the halach is patur min al-chala, it's exempt from chala because the less bushir, you're not going to have a measurement. There's a minimum measurement of around 5 pounds of dough that one has to have the halach of afreshes chala. So if your intention is not to have it together, but to separate it, then it's like it doesn't have the measurement, each one individually. Therefore, the halach is that you're exempt from chala. So therefore, Rabbein Yechiel was in doubt, hachagab bevir mishayish nami, pa'am machalkan. At times, it's separated. That you don't put the measurement of challah into one pot. So maybe it wouldn't be appropriate to have the halacha of a fresh challah. Now, however, in practice, you're obligated to take a fresh challah, but without the bracha of a fresh challah, because of the doubt, both ways. Because maybe it was put into the pot at one time, a share of challah, and it's obligated challah. But however, not to make a bracha because of that suffix of the bracha, which we go lahakul. Now, Taisa says, now the same thing is, just like we said up until now, whatever was originally a dough is mechayev and chala, even if at the end it's sponge-like, but the same thing is in the reverse. V'chal davish etchilas esufgan v'saifi yisa, anything that in the beginning was sponge-like, at the end is a dough, chayev mechala b'maitzi will also be obligated in hafrashas chala and the bracha b'maitzi. The reason for this is because the kaimel and Rabbi Yechon, we rule like Rabbi Yechon and Perek Kol Shoah and Pesachim Nev Lam Zayinim and Alv, we deplig Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish b'maitzi ilpas. There's a machlekes Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish regarding something that's made in a pan. In other words, the dough is not baked in the oven. Rather, it's cooked in a pot, in a pan. Shlokish holds that is exempt from challah. Yechon holds it's chayav challah, as Taisa explains. Upligi bibli blasi raka. Their machlekes is regarding a liquidy type of a dough. The hainu, what is that? What's a liquidy type of dough? Tchilasei sufganin. That starts off spongy-like. It's not a dough, which is a thick consistency. But v'seifa yisa. At the end, it is dough-like, because that liquidy mixture is then is baked in the pot, in the pan, and becomes dough-like. Where im nefa betaner oy bekiro oy beilpas beloy mayim hashem, and they discuss there if it's baked in the oven or a different type of an oven called a kira or in the ilpas in this pan without water, without oil. The Rish Lakish Svirlei, he holds to loy v'chayiv that there's no obligation of challah elikash nefa betaner, only if it's baked in the oven. And v'aha koy masnit, and that's what the Mishnah Masechtas Challah is going on, that if tchilas is of gun, if the beginning started of sponge-like, but say if he eats in the end was dough-like, that's where he holds the chayiv b'challah, only if it ends off dough-like from an oven, then you chayiv b'challah. Av be'ilpas, but if it's in a pan, then he holds you're going to be potter. But, says Rabbi Yechanan Mechayiv, he holds that no, it's going to be obligated in Afrashas Challah, because the Maisa Ilpas, if it's baked in a pan, he also holds Seifa Isa Karina Bey, we call it the end being like a dough. Rak Shaliyu Mashkin Be'ilpas, as long as there's no liquid in the pan. Because if there's liquid in the pan, then even at the end it's not really dough-like, it's still going to be sponge-like. But as long as the end is dough-like without the liquid, then he holds that it's going to be Chayiv and Challah, which is essentially the case that we're talking about, Tchilasei Sufganin, V'Seifa Isa, is going to be chayiv in afrashas chala. And says Tosfos Hachi Yisur b'Yerushalmi. This is how the Yerushalmi explains Rabbi Yechanan, that says kol she'or tachtov, anything that has fire underneath, whatever it's underneath it, even if the dough is in a pan, that chayiv b'chala, you can be chayiv in afrashas chala, mevarach and olav hamaitzi, you can be chayiv to make a hamaitzi, and therefore, since that Rabbi Yechanan holds, and we rule like Rabbi Yechanan, therefore the halacha is going to be, even if it starts as spongy, if it ends up like a dough, even like in a pan, you're going to make hamaitzi. Now, Avol, however, Tosfos says, anilish, which is not really a dough. Rather, it's just this liquidy batter of flour and water that they make in a pan. They're aim of arkham lav hamaitzi. They're not going to make hamaitzi. The lav ha'ela guvul ba'alma, that's just like a thick piece of dough. It's not like a bread-like a thing. It's just like this liquidy thing that's then fried on the pan. Then you don't make hamaitzi. Now, umiyu however says taisim kavas sudase alayu. But if you make your meal on this to sit down with it, kamei bapurim like on Purim, then mavar hamaitzi. Then you're going to make hamaitzi. Even as we see elsewhere in the sugya, that even if something that's really mezainis, because it's not really something that is considered like a meal type of a substance, it's just a guvla ba'almo. But if you make your suda on it, if you sit down to eat a meal of it, then you're going to make a hamaitzi. Now, however, Tosfos says, "B'chol davar shetchilasei sufganan begam seife." If something is spongy, like in the beginning of its consistency, when it's being made, and at the end after it's baked, is also sponge-like. Kagoyin hani sufganan shemetagnin oisan b'shemesh akorim brunyish. Like these sufganan, which sounds like the donuts type of thing, which are fried in oil, where that's something that in the beginning is not a dough; it's a liquidy batter, and at the end it's sponge-like also because it's not baked; rather, it's fried in oil. If that's how it's made, so then b'turim in the challah, then it's going to be exempt from challah, like we learned in the Mishnah, Maseches Challah, which Tosfos brought in the beginning, that says if it starts off sponge-like and ends with sponge-like, then it's not going to be chayev in the halacha of afreshes challah. So we saw from Tosfos, in the beginning Tosfos said, had a difficulty with Rashi's interpretation, that he says, what's this halacha of the lechem asa l'kutach? If the dough was baked in the sun, then it's exempt from challah. That Tosfos asked, why? Ultimately, it's starting off like a dough, and we learned in the Mishnah Maseches Challah that whatever starts off as a dough is going to be chayav b'challah, even if at the end it's like sponge-like. So therefore, Tosfos brought Rabbeinu Tam that ruled based on the Mishnah, that actually, yes, if it starts off like a dough, even if at the end it's like sufganim, like this nivlish and this rishulash, that you're going to make hamaitzi on it. And there's no difference between the bracha of hamaitzi and the chiv of challah, because like we find by the Menachis, that they were fried in oil, and so even though it ends off like sufganim, still the Braisa teaches that they would make hamaitzi on it, since it started off like a dough. And Tosfos brought many different halachas regarding the chiv challah and hamaitzi, that these long, stringy-like dough pieces, like spaghetti, that even though the beginning is dough, you're not going to make hamaitzi because it doesn't have teresa dam, it does not have the form, it doesn't look like a piece of bread. Now, Rabbeinu Yechiel was actually in doubt even regarding the chiv of challah by these strings of dough, because the Yerushalmi brings that if you make a dough with the intention of separating them, then you're not going to be chayav challah. But still, he required to separate challah without a bracha, because we are concerned that maybe they were combined together and it was put in a pot, the shir of a challah. So therefore, out of doubt, one has to be mavash challah, but not make the bracha. So too, Tosfos continued and said, anything that starts off sponge-like, the end is a dough, is chayav nafreshes challah and hamaitzi, even if it was baked in a pan, because you hold like Rabbi Yechanan, that says even if it's the end of a pan, it's still considered what's called a maisa tan, it's still like what was considered baked in the oven to be considered isa at the end. But inlish, which is just like a piece of dough, that's not like, quote-unquote, like an isa, and therefore there, it's going to be the bracha of mezainis, unless if you made your suda on it, then the bracha is going to be the bracha of hamaitzi.